All right. Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome to Coffee with Candace J. Grab your coffee mug, sip, and chat with us. My name is Candace Jones, and I host this weekly show of Coffee with Candace J to discuss some real issues, some real topics that I think that you all would enjoy. So please feel free to like and share. I started this Coffee with Candace J basically based upon my recent book that I released entitled Modern Day Hannahs, which is basically about women who are longing for motherhood, who have dealt with infertility issues or not caring full term. They're typically middle-aged women. And I would love for you all to check that out. I'll have more information once we're finished, but go ahead and like and share. And I would like to talk about our topic for today with our special guest. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's give it up for Ms. Janaire Johnson. Woo, 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 woo. Thank you so much. I'm great. Can you just introduce yourself? Tell everybody about what you do and who you are.
Okay, so I'm Janaire Johnson, and I have been working in mental health for over 27 years now. So it's definitely my jam. Anybody that knows me, I always say this is my ministry. And so I started in Indiana. I got educated at Purdue, got my master's at IUPUI, and then started working outpatient mental health as a therapist there in Indiana. And then we moved to Nashville. I worked inpatient there at Nashville, moved to Memphis where I am now. And I started back in the school system because that's where my passion lies. And so I did a therapist situation at middle school when we first moved here. And then I went to a charter school. I was a social worker there, loved the little people there. And then I finally got a position in the town that I live, Arlington. So I really love the district that I'm in. It is absolutely fantastic. So they're stuck with me. Okay. So as long as they put up with me, I'm there. But love where I am now. I work at the high school. And so I'm the mental health person there for the high school. So my official title with Arlington is social and transition specialist. But that's just a big fancy name for social worker. So, and I do the mental health piece over at the high school. So
okay. Yeah. So yeah. Transition specialist as in transition post high school?
No. Transition as far as maybe coming into high school. So at that ninth grade, you know, time where we're trying to find our space in our tribe and what we're going to do. So I can help with that. I do sessions every first Friday at the high school for those students on being organized, how to deal with big feelings, friendships, depression, drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. So every first Friday they get a dose of me. They know where my office is, what I do, what my title is, and they are comfortable to come down and talk to me. They're welcome at any time to come down and talk to me if any of those topics they want more information on, or if you know they're struggling with something, they can talk to me confidentially. So in my office.
Perfect. So needed.
I love it.
High school. Especially going into high school.
Yes.
So first, thank you again so much for being with us. Do you have your coffee mug?
Yes, ma'am. I follow directions. I have my mug.
See? All right, everybody. Yes. So is there any particular reason why you grabbed that mug, or you want to tell us how do you like your coffee?
I don't have coffee in here. I've got some juice because it's too late in the evening to drink some coffee. I'll be up all night. But I chose this mug because it's a coffee and motivation mug. And it says you have to have, you can have results or excuses, but you can't have both.
All right. Okay.
So, you know, a little something.
I like that. Where'd you get that from?
It's my husband's mug.
Okay. Well, I like it. Okay. I love it. This one actually came from Denitra Barnes. I want to say that's who I got it from. We were doing a women's ministry. For those who don't know, we used to live in Memphis and go to the same church with Janaire at the time and at Grove Central and their Women's Bloom Ministry. Shout out to you all. And we were exchanging gifts for something. I don't know. I don't remember. But I think I got that in my package. So this one, and I love it. It represents me, I believe. It says like girl boss on there. So that's why I chose this one, kind of tie into how we know each other and all of that. So we're going to dive right into it, everybody. Again, thank you so much for being here. Today's topic is mental health matters. And for a disclaimer, we may talk about some sensitive things. So I just wanted to throw this out there and just say this is a disclaimer for those who may have a certain trigger with certain content that we may discuss. Just know that this is all in love, and this is all about seeking our various resources and what we can do to uplift each other. So I want to go ahead and get started with our first question. And if you're watching, please feel free to leave any comments in the chat, ask questions if you want to. That's what this is for, okay? So my first question to you, Janeer, is therapy the best option for women who have dealt with infertility or caring full term?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Therapy can be incredibly beneficial for women who are dealing with infertility or infant loss. This is a soft spot for me as well. I think I told you that before we got online, and it has helped me a great deal. Having someone to talk to in a confidential space, just kind of process those big emotions. You're grieving, you're frustrated, you're confused, you've got all these things going on in your mind. So you need a place to go where you can kind of sort these things out and get your head on straight, right? Because if not, we'll start to spiral down. And that's when we start to, you know, experience symptoms of depression, poor mood, withdrawal, and things of that nature. So I really, really think therapy, especially like a cognitive behavioral therapy, someone who specializes in that, will be really, really beneficial with the stressors that come along with infertility and the cost. It could be expensive, you know, to kind of go through those things, can help husbands as well, because you want someone, you want a spouse that's going to be supportive and nurturing for you. So, and they're also grieving as well, right? And so having a place for them to go, a person to talk to that's not family, that they can process and learn, you know, ways to kind of help support you better would be beneficial as well, and for your marriage. So I would recommend, or I encourage people to go together and then separate as well, if that's what you can do.
Mm-hmm. I love that. It's so needed for men to even talk about therapy and how it's not supposed to make you feel like you're weak, right? And I think a lot of men maybe shy away from therapy because they think that that brings out a weakness, so to speak. What would you say to that?
I agree. I think society has made it to where men are supposed to be macho. Mm-hmm. They're not supposed to cry. They're not supposed to feel. They're not supposed to do any of these things. That's for girls, you know, stand up, right? That's what we always tell people. But no. No. You want someone who can tap into their sensitive side, because you're going to need that at some point in your life. So,
yeah. I honestly agree 100%. I was at a church in Atlanta, and I was speaking to a friend of mine who was talking about grief counseling. You know, various churches have small groups, you know, now, and one of the small groups was just a grief counseling type of group. And I'm not sure if the leader was in therapy, was in counseling, but they had a particular young lady in the group who dealt with infertility. And she said, and people, she hadn't dealt with miscarriages, but she just dealt with infertility of not being able to have children. And she said, this is a form of grief. And speaking from someone who came from, you know, that background, I would agree with that. It's in a form of grief. It's not the same. And right. I would definitely not compare it to someone who has lost a child, by no means, but a form of it. And as the depression, as you said, the anger, the different triggers, as I kind of talk about in my book, I believe it can be a form of grief of loss of something that you never had and feel like you never will have that experience. It's a form of that. What would you kind of say to that? I never met the young lady, but this is kind of what was brought to my attention as I was talking about my book.
Yeah, I agree. Grief has different components to it. So it could be, you know, death of a loved one. It could be loss of a pet. If I lost my favorite mug, I could grieve over my mug. So you can't tell me there's no, you can't tell me what I shouldn't grieve over.
Right.
You can't tell me how long I should grieve, and you can't tell me whether I should grieve or not. And so, you know, exactly like what you said, not being able to conceive is also a form of grief. And you go through that whole grief cycle. I believe it's, you know, you bargain, you're angry, you're in denial, you're sad. And then at some point you end up kind of reconciling and being okay with it. But that, it takes a while. I explained to the students that I work with at the high school about grief. We have these conversations in that the ninth grade thing I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. And so grief is one of those, it's the most, to me, I feel like it's the most complex and one of the most difficult emotions, because it just, it can come out of nowhere, mm-hmm. right? It's not a cycle, right? It's stages. So it is never ending, right? So you can hit, so for example, you know that, you remember that old school ping pong?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you call it? Is it ping pong? The little table, you pull the lever back and it goes.
Ping pong, Lord. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But yeah, there's the game table and you pull it. Yeah.
And you're trying to keep the ball afloat. Mm-hmm. That's how grief is. When you pull that back and you're hit with something, it's bing, 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 and you can hit any one of those stages of grief with any level of intensity at any time, you know, at any time. And then you're down there trying to stay afloat, the little ball. You're trying to keep it afloat, but eventually it falls through.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you know what I mean? So that's how grief works. And it's just really, really difficult. So the thing, what we want to do is make sure that we know what we're doing to stay, keep staying the game, to stay afloat.
Yes. It said pinball. Thank you. I guess watch it says pin. Thank you. Pinball. Y'all know we all look, we at that age, like, what was it called? Y'all know what it was called. But we don't. Yes. Pinball. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Wholeheartedly, even in the sense of, and I know we haven't even gotten to our second question yet, but even with married couples who are trying to conceive, and let's say the woman has had a miscarriage or has suffered from infertility issues, that form of grief can come out of nowhere, to where once you were excited about being intimate with each other, sexual relations with one another, but then it's like, you know what's the point? Like before, it's like militant, let's go, you know, I'm trying, but it's like, if what's the point, you know? Yes, it's that to enjoy one another, but it's like we ain't even gonna have no baby. So you know, it's for some women it doesn't become enjoyable, or it's like we're just, what's the point? We enjoy it. Okay, cool. But I'm not having a baby at the end of the day, where you're going through the motions. And that in my opinion can be a form of grief as well, because there are women out there, and I talk to a lot of different women, a lot of different situations, but there are women out there who deal with that mentally. Mm-hmm. Because you're trying to, you know, enjoy and just say, you know what, we're just going to enjoy one another. But it's like, yeah, at the end of it, I still want a baby at some point.
Yeah. And that's where therapy comes in as well. You're going to need to be able to process through that and cope with that, to where you're able to still enjoy one another without thinking of that.
Right.
You know, yeah. Of end goal. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So let's get to our next question again. If you're watching, you can go ahead and comment, ask a question as well, so we can stay connected. So my second question is, if someone can't afford therapy, what are some practices anyone can do on their own or until they can take up therapy?
Okay, well, first, let me just say there are a lot of community mental health centers that will put you on a sliding fee scale. So according to your income, so that may be 25 cent, it could be $10, who knows? But they can put you on some sort of sliding scale. So don't shy away from that because you're worried about a cost. At least call around and check, okay? But some other things you can do just at the house, if you are one that likes to journal or write out how you feel, that would be perfect. Get your cute little journal, cute little pen, and set aside some time every day, 10 minutes, whether it's, you know, keep it by your nightstand before you go to sleep at night. For 10 minutes, journal about your day, how you're feeling, what caused those feelings, and dedicate that time to that. So you can also, you know, journal. Mindfulness and meditation, I am big on that. Mm-hmm. I did do a mindfulness class at the elementary school I was at before I came to the high school. And those little people enjoyed that little class, being able to sit in silence for a minute. Mm-hmm. Just be still in the moment. Mm-hmm. It's all about present. In the moment, in a non-judgmental fashion. So, you know, what am I hearing? What am I smelling right now? How do I feel right now? What do I see? What do I hear? Those type of things, those grounding things that kind of bring you back to peace, right? Meditation. So whether that be, you know, you put on some sort of guided meditation on YouTube, all of those are free on YouTube, or you subscribe to, you know, another type of app. I know one example is the Calm app. And I tell this story all the time about the Calm app. It was free, I think, during the pandemic. Not sure if it's free now, but if it is, it didn't cost too much. But I love it. And we subscribe to it. And they have guided meditations on there, sleep stories. The sleep stories are perfect for little people. I've got two girls. And to get them kind of calm for the night, I'll put on a sleep story and they're out. But the guided meditations are the ones that I really, really enjoy for myself. And so my husband, he works a really stressful job. He works at a bomb factory. Okay. And so, you know, he's in charge of this project. And so, you know, at any moment, if you don't dot every I and cross every T, you know, kaboom. Okay. So it's high stress. And so, you know, he comes home and he's frazzled and can't sleep. He's tossing and turning and all these type of things. And so I'm like, hey, you know, try this Calm app. It'll work for you. And he's, you know, he's macho, Mr. Oh, don't try to therapize me. That's what he said. Don't try to therapize me. And I'm like, dude, look. So anyway, I finally get him to try it. And I walk out the room. I think I wash some dishes, like 10 minutes tops. I come back. He's literally in the fetal position, knocked out. So I'm like, if he is Mr. Non-believer, you know, don't, it won't work. And he's curled up sleep. It works. So any type of guided meditation will get your mind at ease and rest, or be able to get a good night's rest and get those the proper sleeping, you know, that you need. What else could you do? So mindfulness, meditation, what I say, journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to a friend or someone, you know, having someone you can confide in. Just make sure that the friend is a friend.
Right. That part.
You can't tell everybody everything. Because it'll get out. Support groups, you know, like you were saying, you know, the churches usually have some sort of support group for different things, for grief or with different, you know, different things. So any type of support group in your community, whether it be a local library group that, you know, some ladies get up. There's a group here, lady, Miss Brock, and she's probably, I hope she's watching, but Miss Brock does it up the street at the coffee shop. It is, I can't remember the name of it, but they meet at the coffee shop every Monday for moms. And it's just for community, for family, just to get out and just have some people to talk to. A lot of times we withdraw within ourselves, and again, we'll start to spiral. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your mind is it'll take you there. Okay. Ooh. Want to be able to get out and get those feelings and talk to people, like-minded people that understand, because you're not alone.
Yes.
You know, you're never alone. There are other people struggling with the same stuff all the time with different things. And so you're not alone. And it's just comforting to hear that. Alone.
Yes.
Not by yourself. You know, we were having a conversation before we went on about our kids. We're not alone. You know what I mean? Somebody's going through the same thing. So just that alone is just comforting and healing, right? Exercise. Okay. Walk 30 minutes, you know, your neighborhood. If you got a pet, walk your dog, walk your cat, I don't know, you know, whatever. Ride your bike for 30 minutes. Do some yoga. That's also calming and relaxing as well. So those are all things you can do. Find some literature, some reading, a good book about the topic, or just something just for pleasure, and read and dedicate some time, you know, aside for that. So those are all great coping skills, safe coping skills to kind of deal with that.
I love that. So many great answers. Some of the things that I've done is practice myself. One of our commenters, LaKeisha, my girl, watched every week. I love it. Thank you, Keisha. Just a great advice, because that pray about it only method of therapy ain't it.
Yes,
we are believers, of course, you know, so we believe, of course, in the power of prayer. Yes. But it's more than just, you know, it says faith without works is dead.
I was just getting ready to say that. Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, you have to put something along with your faith, you know, to encourage you. And that deals with, you know, your emotions as well, because just like another scripture says, be angry, but sin not. It's like, what's going to keep you from doing that sin and beating up somebody when you're angry? You have to do some type of method, you know, to be able to control that. Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's really just how I think of it. I love journaling. That's kind of how the book really started. I journal and I keep track of things, and it's just the thoughts to get it out. And I was like, you know, I need to be writing, you know, a book. And so that's really where it started, was journaling. We've done that mindfulness practice. That's got to be a school-wide thing, like everywhere, because we've done that down here in Georgia.
Oh, that's awesome.
Even with my acting class that I was attending down here in Atlanta, we would do that before, you know, you go into your actual class, and it's just centering down, like stretches and just breathing. And I was like, it really gets you centered, because you're getting away from work and all the things that's going on. And we have to really just center, especially if you're trying to play a character that may have gone through something serious or fun or whatever. And you have to really just center yourself. So that peace and that meditation of just silence and stop your thoughts from running around, it really does work. So that's not just something that you're just saying. I've done those things, and I'm like, it really does work. It
really does work. You know, and I really want people to at least try it and not just shy away from it just because it sounds kind of corny. It really is beneficial and helpful. Mm-hmm. Like, so yeah, I totally agree.
I agree with that too. Talking to people, even with it being brunch, and again, yes, being mindful of who you know, talk to. Platforms like this, I'm a part of. One of my guests that I had before, she has a Facebook group called Momversations. Shout out to Candy from UT Martin. And so, and it's just various moms just talking about, you know, what we deal with from day to day. And I was like, it's great to be a part of people who are, like you said, going through the same thing. In small groups at church, different things like that, just to get it out. And so, of course, you don't tell everybody every little detail, but just expressing it. And the book that I wrote was actually a form of therapy for me.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
To be able to express and be vulnerable and to share, like, this is how it feels, you know, to go this long, you know, without children, and you really don't talk about it. Like, people know. And they see you, you know, you doing you smiling, laughing, joke, all those things. But internally, this is one of the things that I've dealt with, you know, without really talking about it, you know. And so,
and then you get the questions. And I don't know if you experienced this or not, but you got questions. Well, you know, you get married. As soon as you get married, when you're going to have some kids. And it's like, well, you don't know what I've been trying to do. Like, and that triggers you. You know what I mean? That, like, I really dislike when people ask that. And then once you have a kid, like for me, I've got two girls. Y'all gonna get a boy? I'm gonna try for a boy. I'm like, well, wait, you don't know. I've lost three. I tried, you know, but then that triggers me. I'm starting all over again, you know?
Right.
Just don't.
Like, just don't. Just don't. Because you don't know. It could have just happened. Like, and I talk about that, you know, in my writing. Like, you just don't know what we're doing behind closed doors and what we experience. We're just not the type of people we're going to get over here and cry all on Facebook and everybody, this is what just like, a lot of people, we're just not going to do that. Right?
Right.
You know, certain people in your circle, your family may know, but not everybody knows what you have experienced. And so just steer clear from those types of questions. And that's a cultural thing that's been going on forever. That didn't just start, you know, that's been going on with everyone from every race, every background deals with that. And it's just important to have platforms like this to talk about why it's just not okay. Somebody's got to say something at some point. Like, it's just not cool. Just don't even bring it up.
Yeah.
Right.
It's super sensitive. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to my next question. Spiritually, mentally, or physically, what are specific ways with dealing with hope being deferred after several years? There is a Bible verse, and I'll pull that up in a second, that says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And that's basically a form of depression. Speaking of depression, makes your heart sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it says, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. So what are some specific ways of dealing with hope being deferred? We're not talking about no 1 week, or I watched the show. They're like, we tried after getting married. We've been married 6 months. I'm like, that's wonderful. But hope deferred ain't talking about no 6 months, baby. It's about a long time you've been trying and failed and trying and failed. So, and it's not to, and again, it's not to discredit those, because that's, you know, that's your feelings. You're entitled to those. But we're talking about your hope being deferred.
Like them student loans deferred.
Loan deferred. It's on the back end. Yes. Can I get a witness?
Listen. Oh my goodness, the delay of gratification or what you desire, that is a hard thing. That's tough. What do we do while we wait? Okay, because we know that God hears and answers prayers and that he will give us the desires of our heart, right?
Yes.
We ask in his name. But what do we do while we wait? Okay, so spiritually, prayer and meditation. Okay, make sure you get into your word. Make sure you stay grounded. Okay, find you some scriptures. Find you a, my mom does a daily word and I've gotten into those. Find something that can kind of guide you through, get like a women's Bible or something to kind of guide you through those things and meditate on God's word. Reflect on scriptures that provide you hope and comfort. Whatever scriptures work for you, do those. Okay, faith and community. Participate in a faith community for support. Whether you belong to a church or whatever your belief is, find your tribe. Okay. Find your tribe and stick with it. And make sure that you, you know, have a mentor that can provide some guidance and some reassurance to you that way. That's spiritually, whether that be your pastor or another, somebody in the church or whoever's a member of community, your neighbor, whoever that person may be. Okay. Mentally, positive affirmations work really well. They worked for me. I can, I will, I am, you feel me, whatever works for you. That will help combat those negative thoughts. Okay. So for every like one negative thought that we have, we got to have three in back to get rid of it. Okay. So make you a list of just everything I can, I am, I will. Just make you a list. Just keep it going. So that when those negative thoughts, when the devil creeps in and taps you on the shoulder and say, hey, and we try to remind you what you don't have. Okay. You can go back in that repertoire and say, this is what I do have. Okay.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, and combat that. Set small goals, you know, achievable goals, whether that's, you know, like I mentioned earlier, if you want to make sure that you're, you know, journaling 10 minutes a day, whatever time of the day that might be, small goals, small incremental goals. So whether that be attainable goals too. So whether that be, you know, well, next week I want to do this, or maybe tomorrow I want to do this, or maybe I'm just trying to get to it today. You know, by 5 o'clock, I want to have this done. You know what I mean? So whatever works for you, whatever is true for you, set small goals. Let me look at my notes. Physically, I think I mentioned before, keep a healthy lifestyle. Make sure you're eating, exercising, make sure you are resting. I talk about rest. I think every time I talk to somebody, I talk about make sure we get enough sleep. We all know that we're supposed to get how many hours of sleep? How many hours?
8 hours.
Right. You know why though? Has anybody told you why?
No, 8 hours to time to digest, for your mind to be renewed.
Go. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So let me break it down for you, because people tell us stuff, but they never give us the why behind it.
Right.
So 8 hours, right? So you've got your first hour where you're getting kind of comfy, right? That's eight. So first hour getting kind of comfy. That's stage one, okay, of your sleep. The second stage, these next 2 hours, you're in a light sleep. So if somebody calls your name, Candace, you probably won't hear them, have to come over and kind of shake you, right, to get you up, because you get these last 5 hours is where the magic happens. That's where, when you just said the digestion, your eyes, you're growing, your muscles, your hair, like everything is doing what it needs to do to recharge. It needs the whole 5 hours to do that. Okay. If you're only getting 5 hours of sleep, you can't skip stages, right? You still got to get comfy for that first hour. You still got to go through stage two for those couple hours where you're only charging for 2 hours. That's not enough. And that affects your health, that affects your mood, right? You're not able to think clearly, you're forgetful, you're irritable, right? Because you're not fully charged. I give the example of my cell phone one time. I have my stuff next to my nightstand on the bed, like most people, plug it in at night, right? Well, I thought I plugged it in, but I didn't go all the way, right? So the next morning I wake up, my phone is already down like 54%. Okay. It's seven. I gotta go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. So by noon, my phone is like, hey, I'm on battery saving mode, right? You're going to plug me in or what? Because the phone is going to what? Cut off, shut down. It's the same thing with your body. It's the same thing with your body. So you got to make sure you're charging your body for the full amount of time so that you can function. And that alone will help you feel better and improve. So that's the why, but how you're supposed to get it out of sleep.
That is so good. We learning everything. We sitting there like, really? Now, first hour, okay. I mean, you just learn, so you never know what you're going to learn on here. I'm telling you, that's the educators. I love that. I love it. I'm gonna tell Kel later, so you know the first hour. You're winding down.
Right.
The second and third. I love that. I love that. But it's so, I mean, that is so, so key. And man, it exercising, I know I got to get better at. I was just talking about that and showed my best friend had a bike on my page and riding, like I said, definitely got to do better with that. Spiritually, you know, as Keisha just said before, you know, of course, you know, pray, of course, meditate on the word. I love what you said about your affirmations. I'm a big, you know, person with affirmations. So I agree 100%, 110% with that. Mm-hmm. I believe that's how we call things that are not as though they are, even with affirmations. I mean, it's happened and worked in my life, so I'm not going to shy away from them. I mean, more than, you know, than I can count. So that would be a whole nother book. So I agree with that 100% because there's power in your words. Mm-hmm. It just uplifts you. You know, that's what it says, that longing fulfilled. When I was in college, I don't know who taught us this. It may have been our college pastor. I'm not sure. Shout out to our pastor. But was like, if you stay busy with God's business, he'll take care of yours. So it was like being busy with serving others, you know, so that your mind isn't constantly, you know, on it just all the time and being obsessive, you know, about just baby.
Right.
You know, and again, so that you can enjoy, you know, your intimacy with your significant other, you know, so it's not just becoming just that mechanics and robots and, you know, and I'm ovulating, let's go, you know, like you have to be able to be at peace and just, you know, and trust God with that. So I agree, you know, a million times over. We're going to keep it moving, guys, for sake of time. And I love you guys chiming in. And the next question is, why do you believe many women do not discuss the stigma of being childless or ways to support one another? Why don't women talk about these ways? Why don't we know about these ways to support one another in this area?
So I think we kind of touched on that too. I think it just goes back to you thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if I share this, they're going to think something's wrong with me. You know, it's a shame. It's a guilt. It's a, you know, I don't compare or I'm, you know, I'm inadequate. You know, and those are very strong emotions to kind of deal with. So I want people to know to reach out. You're not, I promise you are not the only one. There are several myself. So if you need to message me after this is over and have a conversation with me, I've got three babies. Okay. Three times I've dealt with this. And the last one took me completely out the game. Like I was messed up after that. I'm still healing from that because it was a mess. But people are going through, you never know. Okay. So I'm putting myself out there. If you want to have a conversation with me, I'll be more than happy to have a cup of coffee with you online or text, whatever you need me to do. I am there for support for you spiritually and in the mental health realm. So kind of get you where you need to be. But definitely put yourself out there, have those conversations because you're not alone. But society will make you feel that way. They will. It will. So yeah, lack of fear of judgment. You don't want to be judged. You know, well, so-and-so had this, and how come she can't do it? You know, why come they haven't had any kids yet? Because they don't know what underlies under there. You know what I mean? So it's just a lot. It's heavy stuff. A lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure from outside sources that don't know what you're going through. That can make you feel a certain type of way, too.
It's a lot. I agree. Mm-hmm. A lot of pressure. I kind of talk about that in the first chapter, dealing with paninas and pressure from other women, just basically putting that, you know, pressure on you that they may not even know that they're doing. A lot of women mean well, mm-hmm. But putting that outside pressure, as you mentioned before, like, when are you going to have kids? Like, what's taking so long? What's wrong with you? And all those things. Or it could be in-laws for somebody's, you know, someone else's case may be their in-laws putting that pressure on them. I've watched various shows where the in-laws are just like, look, we're my grandbabies. I mean, it's like they just got married, y'all. Give them a minute.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this too. I just had a thought. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
But do you think it kind of goes back to back in the day where that was the women's role? was to get married, you start having babies, because it was really nothing else for us to do. That was our role, become a mother and take care of home. Well, now, you know, we've evolved. Okay. We're business owners and we're doing things, we're traveling and all these things. And so a lot of times for most women, you know, raising children is kind of delayed purposely, you know, because we're doing other things. And I think, what do you think? I think that might be a little bit too. Like that.
I agree. We've talked about this at my book signing, where the NFL kicker from the Kansas City Chiefs, he went viral for speaking at a commencement ceremony, and he called out all the women. He said, "All the women in here, you know, basically, you know what you're." I'm paraphrasing, but what he was saying was, "Well, your little degree is cute, but really you should be excited about becoming a wife and a mama one day. Like, that's your only person." You haven't seen it? Child.
Where have I been?
Where have you been? That has been streaming everywhere. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. If you're listening, someone put it in the chat, but he's a current kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he was speaking, and it was great. And he was just like, "Yes. So look forward to having these babies." And it's like, sir, this is exactly what we're talking about. Like, what if people were like, number one, your purpose as a woman is beyond, yes, that is a beautiful thing that God has blessed the woman to be able to be with child. However, that's not overall what God said in his word. It's just for the woman.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, some Christians and some people are still in that mindset of that old time, and still in that mindset of that's our only role, is just to get pregnant, have these babies, be the housewife, and more power and kudos and all the blessings to all those women who do hold that role and want that role. That's fine. That's your decision. No one is condemning you, but don't put that on everybody to say that that's what everyone should want and that's what everyone should be doing. And some people are still, it just comes from generations, as you said, that comes into our mindset of that's what we're supposed to do. And that's where those pressures come from, as far as, well, when are you? When you don't know if we have been trying or if we tried and lost a child, unfortunately, and what that does to you mentally for you to continue to pressure. And that's none of our business to have to tell you if we lost a child. That is definitely no one's obligation to share that information. That is between you and your spouse, you know, and it just saddens me for a man or anybody to just believe that that's your only purpose. Not to say that's not a beautiful thing and that's not a great purpose. I'm a mom. You know, you're a mom. So I know that's a purpose, but it's not the only thing. Okay. And to put that pressure to say, well, when you're going to have another one, and it does make it hard to talk to other women when you will feel that type of judgment. And so I think that's an excellent answer. It's that fear of judgment. I talked about before how it was said to my sister, who had her first child biologically at 42.
Wow, what a blessing.
Yeah, and she'll be 44 this year. And it was said to her, well, now your parents will finally have something to be proud of. And it's like, and I know it, but it probably wasn't meant that way.
No, but still.
You love everybody. You love this person, you know, 100 times over. And it's not supposed to be taken that way out of context. So I'm not trying to put anybody on blast. It's just to say that that's the type of things of why women don't share with other people.
It's a sting to it, you know? So.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like, so nothing else that I've done in this world matters.
Matters.
Not the doctorate degree, throw all that out. You got your baby, you know, like, really? You know, so I do agree with that. That's an excellent answer. So we as women have got to do better with supporting one another. You know, we as women have got to come together and not put that pressure on one another.
Right.
You know, what place do I have to put that type of pressure on you?
Right.
You know, even knowing you for several years, what place? I have no right, no place to put that on you, to hold that over you. or trap or this boy. I have no rights of whatsoever. And I know people, and again, people mean well, but we just adopted two boys and people already like, well, you gonna trap for your girl, you're gonna go adopt a little girl. It's just like, y'all, it ain't even been a year. I ain't trying to get super country, but y'all, like, we work with kids literally half our lives, but this is different.
It is. When you bring them to the house, it's different.
So can y'all give, listen, Janeer, you laughing. I'm not laughing. I am not laughing, honey.
I feel you. I hear you.
Y'all better hold your horses, because now I'm like, Lord, thank you. Listen, I'm not mad at you, Lord. If I don't get this by, listen, trust me, I'm good. I am.
Goodbye.
I am good. Let me get back on topic, because child, I promise y'all.
Yeah, trust me. That's why I'm laughing, because I get it.
I am 100% serious. Oh, no. I'm good. I am 41. Okay, let me come back, because baby, that'll be a whole nother. Y'all got me scratching my head. I'm hot just thinking about that. Like, I this a lot. What we got ourselves into. I love them.
I know it.
Y'all know I do.
But it's a handful.
But baby, I'm this okay. Anyway, okay. Let me go to the next one.
Let's okay. Go ahead.
Woo, okay. You got me hot over here. The fan on, and I'm still hot.
Oh, geez.
Anyway. So wrapping things up, this is my final question of the night. What would you say as encouragement to other women who are middle-aged and still long for motherhood or more children?
Yeah, so you kind of touched on it just now, a few minutes ago. Embrace your journey. Okay, your worth is not defined by motherhood. We just had a whole, it's not defined by motherhood alone. Everybody's journey is unique. Enjoy the journey that you're on and be appreciative of the moments that you have right now. Okay, we can get so caught up in thinking about what we don't have or thinking about future, further out things, where when you do that, it causes anxiety. Mm-hmm. Because if you try to forecast stuff, the unknown, that is what causes anxiety, the unknown. Unknown is what, causes mm-hmm. stress, anxiety, and worry. Stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Right here. Enjoy your journey right here. The street that you're on right now, stay there. Okay, park for a minute. Enjoy. Okay. Focus on self-love, self-compassion, celebrate your strengths. Your achievements, we just talked about this, the love you bring to the world in other ways. You know, you're not defined by motherhood. I work at the school, you know, I sing with the choir. I'm at my girl's school, they know me at their school. So I'm involved, you know, in the community in other ways. Connect with others again, join a support group. Networks of women who share a similar situation, they're out there. Okay. And if you have trouble with that, you can go to I'll share this resource. It is therapydan.com. I'm not sure if anybody has heard about that, but you can search for support groups or therapists by zip code, whether you want to mail or email, whether you want to go online or virtual. So therapydan.com is a good place to start when you're just kind of looking for things in the area, or just a Google search, you know.
Is therapy ban or den?
Therapy den, D-E-N. Yep. So that'd be a good resource to kind of start and kind of see what's in your area. Or like I said, you know, Google search, you know, your area, and ask around. You never know what other people may know about what's going on in the area or other support groups. So
I love that. Thank you for sharing that resource as well. You know, I talk about also within the book how it's all a book of encouragement, of course. But you are a mother to someone. You are a mother figure to several different people in other different capacities. Mm-hmm. Like on your job, if you work for the school system, everyone knows that is the village in itself.
Mm.
But you know, you are a mother figure to someone. You're that surrogate. And you know, I was fortunate to have a godson, you know, called my son, you know, since he was 16, you know, he's in his 30s now. Wow. You know, and y'all have seen him. You probably forgot his, you know, his face, but Marquis, shout out to him. Been in my life since literally 15, 16 years old. And so it's just to the point of, you know, when you're a coach, you're even on your job, if you're a secretary, you know, some people see you as that mom figure. There's always that saying that, you know, you may be the only Jesus that people see. It's not calling you Jesus, of course, but it's saying they see the Christ within you. They see that light within you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people see that light of motherhood, that compassion, that nurturing, you know, that love that they need that they may not even get from someone else, you know, that hug, that here, baby, come get you some breakfast, you know, just whatever it is. And I talk about that and how that means the world to some people, that you just thinking you're just being you, but you're really being that motherly role. And I agree with, of course, everything you said, just piggybacking on that, you have that mother type role to somebody. So don't get caught up in so much of being that biological mom. And once you're content with, like you said, being present and who you can bless, you know, today, mm-hmm. you know, that's what helps you to carry on. And again, not get obsessive and have that anxiety and win. Who can you help now, instead of focusing on, you know, your future of that baby you're going to raise? Focus on now who you can be that mother figure to. Right. And that really was a blessing to me, just, you know, as an educator, you know, as a coach, as a godmom, you know, aunt, things like that, fulfilling those roles and my other purposes that I carry, you know, that helped to, you know, be fulfilling, so that I'm not just focusing on I want a baby, because it's more to it than that. And last thing I heard somebody say at once, well, what is the purpose behind it? This was at my book signing. That's where it was, at my book signing. It was, the question was asked there, and it was just so profound of, so why do you want a baby? Why do you want a child? Why do you want another child? And is it because of those pressures, just because someone is saying, you know, you should have another baby? Is it to keep up with the Joneses? Mm-hmm. What is that? Why is it? Is it because you really do want to just be a mother? And, you know, or is it because you're trying to keep up with this, or this thought of, or impressing your mother-in-law or whatever? Know that sole purpose and fulfill other purposes before you jump into it. Because as we said, motherhood is no joke. We love it.
Yeah.
You know, but make sure that, you know, you're ready mentally and spiritually.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, because you have to be.
Yeah.
A whole other thing with parenthood, especially nowadays, when, and it's been going off topic, but they are exposed to so much where we weren't, especially with their internet. I mean, a Google search can take them down a rabbit hole of just foolishness, you know, and they're seeing and hearing this stuff that is not healthy for their spirit, right? And so then you're fighting these demons in your own house because you've got these devices and things that they're seeing. So I don't want to go down a rabbit hole myself, but you have to be very clear and have very clear boundaries with these kids nowadays, and making sure that you're monitoring what they have access to. So mine don't have access. They don't have phones. They want them. You're not getting a phone. No, I know. Not from what I'm seeing. I'm in the schools. Not from what I'm seeing happening with the phones. And you're not getting a phone. So.
I love it. I mean, the boys that we have, they have the phone, but every app is, everything is like blocked. You can't get on anything. Like, you can call us, you know. It's just, and that was a part of like the safety part of, you know, when they were in transition to adopting. So that was a little bit different, because that's a whole nother story. It had to be constant communication, all those things. But you can't, you ain't getting no YouTube, no Facebook, no TikTok, you know. They are not on social media at all. I don't care how much they beg. Mm-hmm. Not at all. No. So, you know, even whatever else that they can try to filter in, there's no, it's all blocked. You have to have a parent permission code, all the things, you know, that'll send to our phone, even if you tried to ask for it. So
love it. I love it.
So I'm just saying. And they're on phone punishment right now as we speak. So it don't even matter. They both on phone punishment. That's a whole nut story.
I know. We can go, yeah.
And I got to get into that. I talk about on another different live why the boys on phone punishment too. Whenever I feel like it, me and Kale feel like it. Because what they just did, that's a whole nother conversation.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
So, but I want to tell you, everything that you have talked about has been so, so valuable. Your resources, your advice, everything has just been amazing. I love these nuggets. I love these takeaways. Thank you to everyone who has been chiming in and just being a part of tonight. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us before we leave? Anything else that you can think of?
Just kind of going back to making sure you stay on your own journey and enjoy the journey that you're on, you can, you know, also kind of explore other ways to be the parent. So whether that be through adoption, I'm adopted. So whether that be, you know, through adoption or whatever the case may be, or just being that auntie or that uncle, whatever, you know, whatever. You know, there are other ways that you can make an impact while you're waiting. Okay. While you're waiting for God to give you your blessing. God's timing is perfect. So it may seem like a long time to you, but it's not for God. So
yes, I love that. Thank you so much. Woo, this has been awesome. Again, you all please follow Janeer. And again, she gave you that permission. She said you can inbox her with different questions, comments, things that you would want to share. Take her up on that. Please, please do. I want you guys to really like and share this information that we've talked about tonight. It got really deep, but it was just enough for us to really be able to share with some others. And again, make sure that you pick up my book, Modern Day Hannahs, available on Amazon. Leave a review. Let me know what you think. I want to keep these types of conversations going because everything we've talked about on this platform is in the book. And I have professionals here who are backing up literally what I said. So this is like confirmation, and I'm so thankful for it. Follow our Facebook page, Modern Day Hannahs. And there's my Instagram platform as well. And again, you said therapyden.com. Everyone check it out. From tonight's topic, mental health matters. I am so, so thankful that you joined us tonight, and keep the conversation going. Yes.
You could have picked anybody. I thank you so much for picking me. Little old me.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I know little. It's the big Janeer, not the little one. Yes. Yes. That's what the kids say, don't it? It's the big one, not the
big one. You did the big one. Yeah.
Now, listen, I couldn't think of anybody else. So I'm so thankful that you joined us. And again, keep the conversation going. If you're watching us later on and couldn't watch us live, continue to comment and we'll go back and try to discuss even more. But until then, I'll see you next time on Coffee with Candace J. Thank you. Bye.